God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and another message on making a difference. This has been a remarkable series on everyone from Jehoshaphat to today, a young mother making a difference. And as we study the word together, we'll be headed to the book of Exodus, chapter 2, in just a moment. But we want you to know we're headed to the phones right now. We'd love to take your call, spend some time praying with you today at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, the look of tewonline.org is about to change. So if you're nostalgic, drop by and visit the website now and you'll see the new version coming up in a couple of weeks. We'd love to connect with you there. Now let's open our hearts and God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word.
I'm going to read to you one of the most brilliant, tender, wonderful passages of Scripture. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 2. I want to speak to you today on a young mother who made a difference. We have so many young mothers in our congregation and also in our world. You know, I've pondered this as I've been studying this. I don't know that I could ever thank the Lord enough for the mothers who have had an impact on my life. You know, the most obvious would be my own mother. You know, when I was growing up, I could start stories right now and never stop. I don't know what I would have done without my mother. And then I think about my mother-in-law, Nana. She is just absolutely precious to me. So God brought into my life my mother-in-law, who's never been my mother-in-law. She's been my mother, and love her so much. And then he gave to me my little duckling. I just love her. And you know, when I married Karen all those years ago, of course, I didn't even have the faintest notion what an incredible mother she would be. And I don't know where I would be without her mothering of our sons and our daughter, now with our grandchildren. They just love Ducky. And I'm just going to tell you, I mean, we spoke with our grandchildren last night, and all they want to do is talk to Ducky, you know. I need to discuss this with someone so that I can get over this, but it's like Ducky, you know. I mean, what about Chief? You know, is there something wrong with me? And don't you just thank the Lord for our mothers. I want to show you something today. And I want you to get ready, because some of you are going to need to take some serious notes. I've got so much in my heart that I want to just share with you from the love of my heart today. And let's begin by reading this story about this young mother. I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 2, and you want to see this for yourself. The Bible says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child," can I just get this for a second, okay? Some of us have the privilege of being able to really understand a little bit of the original language. That word "fine" there is literally the word "godly," from God, child. That's what that means. So mother has this little baby, and she knew, the Bible says here, when she saw that he was a godly, God-given, of God child, she hid him for 3 months. Now, by the way, if you want to know why she had to hide her child, you have to go back to verse 22 of chapter 1. Bible tells us why. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews shall be cast into the river Nile. Now that's just awful, I'm sorry. But this was an awful man. He was just an ugly brute of a man. And he was threatened and he was insecure. And he just determined and dictated that all little baby boys would be removed. They would be executed. And his chosen method, by the way, was drowning. I just want you to think about how horrific this is. Throwing babies into the river. It happened. Let me tell you something, folks. When evil gets hold of the heart of a person or a group or a religion, they will do anything. They will go to any lengths to carry out their evil heart. So let's just pick up here, verse 3. When she could hide him no longer, she took him, made a basket of bulrushes, and she covered it with tar and with pitch. And then she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. This is an amazing story. And Pharaoh's daughter, I want you to just think about that. This was the daughter of the very same one who was throwing babies into the river. Came down to bathe at the river while her young woman walked beside her. She saw the basket among the reeds. She sent her woman's servant and took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. Is there any more precious sound? Now, at times, I just want to add, but is there any more precious sound than that? In fact, if you think about it, when a baby's born, what does a mother want to hear more than anything else? So let's just get a perspective on this. Baby was crying, so she took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. This is a great story, isn't it? Isn't this wonderful? Mothers can do some stuff even through the back door, and it matters. And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I'll give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is Moses' mother. She was obviously a very young mother, and she made a huge difference. We know the rest of the story, don't we? I mean, you just think about what a difference she made. Just think about what God did with Moses. I mean, this is Moses. Think of that epic journey. Think of the lives that he touched. Just think of all the stories associated with Moses. So here it is. You ready for this? Now you're going to need a pen because I've got so many points that I want to say. And if you'll beg my pardon today, I'm going to be giving a lot of advice. I ask the Lord to please just speak to my heart. And while it may sound like I'm speaking only to young mothers, I've learned many years ago, when you preach God's word, you can preach about apples and the oranges will get blessed because it's God's word. God is going to speak to you, Dad. He's going to speak to you, son. He's going to speak to you, daughter. Listen, she made a difference. My question is, why did Pharaoh's mother make a difference? What was it about it? A couple of things. Number one, she married a godly man. She made a difference, I think, because she married a godly man. And I'm not going to unpack all the background of this Levite, But we do know that he was a godly man. In fact, in Hebrews' account, in Hebrews chapter 11, we affirm the fact that there was a wonderful partnership between husband and wife, young husband, young wife, in what happened, even though we're focusing on this godly mother. She married a godly man. Do you know that who you marry is going to have a significant bearing on the difference you make in your life, in the lives of others? So I want to just say a word here today to whomever may be listening, and particularly to a lot of our young ladies. But we've got some incredible young ladies in our church and in our community. Our daughters are very precious. I can't describe to you how precious my daughter is to me. Don't get me wrong. I love my two sons, Rob and Greg. But God sure blessed me when he gave me Shelley. She is the apple of my eye. And those pet gorillas of mine know it. This young mother made a difference because she married a godly man. So let's talk about this for a minute. I'm going to just put in your heart right now three things that you need to be doing as you think about your life. Number one, you want to marry a godly man, and this works both ways. You want to marry a God man. Number one, adopt the right posture. Adopt the right posture. Make up your mind today, you're going to adopt the right posture. You are going to be extremely prayerful in your approach, understanding in your posture, demeanor, that God is in control. And he will, in his timing, bring that right person to you. Don't over-manipulate your circumstance. Don't get so desperate that you are willing to settle for less than what God intends you to settle for.
What a powerful challenge. Let us never settle for less than God's best. If you need someone to talk with or pray with, know that we're here for you. Jot this number down, 866-899-9673. We'll always connect with one of us, happy to talk or listen or pray. We just want you to know we're here for you online as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now back to today's message, a young mother who made a difference, with Dr. Don Wilton.
Adopt the right posture. Number two, go to the right places. Young ladies, listen to this. Don't hang out in the wrong places. You want a man who potentially drinks and carries on and develops a loose tongue and uses bad language when he's under the influence and changes his behavior and spends all your money, well, then just go and hang out in that bar. You'll find him there. You got to say, no, I don't go there, whatever that place might be. Adopt the right posture. Go to the right places. Church is a very, very good place. Sometimes people say to me, why do I need to belong to a church? One reason is because while you will never find any perfect person in church, you will more than likely find a whole lot of sinners who are saved by the grace of God. You will find that person who is doing everything they can do to live according to what, and they are listening. They're listening to me right now. The people who are not here are not hearing this. Does that shock you? That person you think you're going to marry, who thinks it's far more important not to be in church, he's not here. He's not getting any kind of instruction per se. Do you get it from other places other than church? Of course you do. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Adopt the right posture, go to the right place. And number three, hang with the right people. You go and hang around, you gravitate toward that bunch, you're going to end up marrying one of that bunch. Now there you have it. So don't give me all this stuff about, well, you know, I go to Clemson, or I go to USC, or I go to Alabama, or I go to Wofford, or I go to Converse, or whatever college, and you spend every waking hour hanging out with that bunch over there that you know very well. All that comes out of them is a bunch of hogwash and dribble. Their whole propensity, they're on the edge. They talk demeaning stuff about women. They undress women with their eyes all the time. And as soon as you step, when you come into the crowd, they say, oops, well, we better be quiet now. There's a lady in our presence. You'll end up marrying one of them. And are you kidding me? You think he's going to stop just because he married you? So we talk about this person here, this young mother who made a difference. Let's talk facts together. Let's cut out all the nice stuff and being, you know, don't worry and soothe over and, well, just Mr. Ryden, I'll change him after I marry him. Happens many times. I pray for that all the time. I've seen many a life changed after a person's married. I believe in that. She married a godly man. Number two, she saw what few can see. This young mother made a difference, Moses' mother, because she saw what few can see. How do you explain a mother's heart? But her heart was right with God. The base of her heart was a fertile ground for a seed to grow. She gave God an opportunity to grow something that was incredible in her heart. It's like church, you know. I keep coming back to these illustrations, and we all suffer with that. I'll guarantee you, if you don't prepare and take some steps to discipline yourself, even coming to church, if you just stay up every Saturday night until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning going all over the place, I promise you, you're sitting here right now in a fog. It's hard to listen, to concentrate when you're in a fog. That's why some of you don't ever do any good at school, because you don't prepare yourself properly. You go to school on Monday, you're so exhausted, you've blown your mind out the back door. And then you've got to sit there from 8 o'clock until 3 o'clock and actually think. And you go home and you've got all these home assignments and you leave it all until the last minute. At the end of everything you've done, so when you eventually get, you're so exhausted, you do it at the last minute, and you can hardly think, and you end up getting a C, and you are more than capable of getting an A. And the reason you keep getting a C is because your heart is not fertile. The seed cannot take root, and you're to blame for it. It's not because of your lack of intelligence. This mother saw what few can see. And her heart was ready. Number one, she knew where her baby came from. He was a gift from God. Number two, she knew who he belonged to. He belonged to God. And number three, she knew what he needed from her. Not just like a mother. It's hard to come to grips with the fact that that little baby, yes, is mine. But first and foremost, he's God's. If I think that he belongs to me exclusively and not first and foremost to God, how do you think you can ever let go? You're never going to let go. Number three, this young mother who made a difference, she made a boat that would not sink. She married a godly man. She saw what few can see. Number three, she made a boat that would not sink. You know, as I studied this passage, one would have thought that God would have deemed it necessary just to tell us that she made a basket, put her son in, and said, off you go. But actually, the text even tells us that she made this out of reeds, bulrushes. By the way, bulrushes, and I've been around bulrushes in the Nile River. I've been there in the Nile River, and I've picked up these bulrushes. They are amazing reeds. They are impenetrable reeds. When you put them together, they make a watertight boat, so to speak. She wasn't satisfied with that. She then put an outer coating, the Bible tells us she put both tar and pitch. She understood there was a threefold casing put onto this boat. Excuse me, this boat was going to carry some incredibly precious cargo, her son. She wasn't willing to risk even the minutest leak. She knew that the little squawking chicken was completely incapable of taking off a shoe to be able to bail out water out of his little basket boat. She knew that he couldn't do that. Babies can't do that. This mother knew the extent to which she needed to go to make absolutely certain that her son's boat would float. She made a boat that would not sink. Now there's a mother for you. Most of us sons and daughters, when mom comes, when we get, you know, into our childhood and teenagers, oh, mom, I know. But you know what mom's doing? She's just making a boat that will float. Let your mother float your boat. I better stop while I'm ahead. I can see this all over my Twitter account now. Dr. Wilton was floating a boat in church today. So how do you, here are the principles. She made a boat that would not sink. How do you do that? Just a couple of things about this young mother that applies to all of us. Number one, be sold out in your love for Christ. Number two, don't hold out in your love for your husband. Be sold out in your love for Christ. Number two, don't hold out in your love for your husband. And this works both ways. You show me a marriage in which a husband and a wife persistently and continually try to outlove one another. Would you not agree you've got a marriage made in heaven? Well, I love you. No, well, I love you too. No, well, I love you. I love you too. You know, I have the privilege of marrying a lot of couples, and I usually tell them with tongue in cheek, listen, you want to eat real well, son, when you marry her? Just offer her the first bite. You're listening? No, sweetheart, you have it. I can't explain to you the law of God, but God doesn't mess around. You want to get a really nice new article of clothing? Just give your wife some money and tell her to go and buy something for herself. Drive you crazy. She'll come back with everything for you. Well, why don't you reverse it? Say, as of now, everything we do in this house is for me. You dead, big boy. Some of you, suddenly there's some lights going on, aren't there? She made a boat that would not sink. Be sold out in your love for Christ. Don't hold out in your love for your husband. And number three, go all out in your love for your children. She made a difference. She was sold out in her love for God. She didn't hold out in her love for her husband. And she certainly went all out in her love for her son. Under no circumstances was she going to let him die. This was non-negotiable. So she made a difference, didn't she? She married a godly man and saw what few can see, and she made a boat that would not sink. But number four, she launched her son out in faith. Boy, that is so hard to do. She did it. She launched her son in faith. Here are four operatives of faith. Number one, hold on to the promises of God. Number two, build a boat that will not sink. Number three, release the boat. Actually float the boat. Don't know, there's something about this mother in her faith. I mean, it just runs deep, doesn't it? She held on, great tenacity, to her faith and trust in God. She built a boat that would not float, would not sink. Number three, she released. She let it go. Our human inclination is to do everything God wants us to do, excepting to let go. That's the hard part. Some of you are managing your sons and daughters so close, they can't breathe. You won't let go. You're stifling God out of them. You're micromanaging everything that they're doing. Well, if you've built a boat that won't sink and you've got a faith that is strong, release. Number four, trust. Trust. You got to trust God. Friends, how great is our God? To what extent can we just let go and watch God do what God says He will do? And then there's one final. She gave her utmost for His highest. So here's a young mother who made a difference. What a difference she made.
We all want to make a difference, don't we? We want our lives to count. And there is a very important first step that must be taken if you're really wanting your life to make a difference. And here's Dr. Don with the details.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that You love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to You, and I invite You to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray.
If the Lord's changing your life, if there's a decision that you need to make today, let us walk with you through the next steps, the next connecting to a local church family. We would love to be a part of encouraging you here at The Encouraging Word. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's our website, tewonline.org. And currently, one of those popular searches on our website is, how can we get involved? How can you help? Well, we would love for you to be an encourager to The Encouraging Word.
Hello, my friends. I want to just personally speak to you for a minute today from my heart to yours. I hope you're having a great day today. I don't think that there's ever been a more better or perhaps important time for us to respond to this world by standing up for righteousness. I know that you'll agree with me. In fact, with this in mind, I'd like to invite you to become an Encourager Ministry partner with me. Together, we can impact lives both now and for all eternity. The Daily Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please, let me ask you to call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and say, I want to become an encourager. Thanks so much for helping me.
Again, if you'd like more information, you'll find it on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or if you'd like to call, we'll send you one of those brochures, as our pastor would say. I call them a brochure. But either way, it's some information about who we are, what we're about. And something you won't see printed often in our ministry is Dr. Don takes nothing from this ministry, not a penny of salary, nothing from the books that he writes. You know, the Lord has convicted him that he wants what you give to go to sharing the love of Christ, not just around the country, but around the world. So if you'd like to become an encourager or give in any way possible, we would receive that and invest that in sharing Jesus with people all over the world. Till next time, take care and God bless.